This call is being recorded.
Good morning and welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody just join the call?
Good morning, Bubbly. It's Susie.
Good morning, Susie Q. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing well, too.
Good.
Still a little sleepy, but other than that, I'm good.
Great. So good to hear that.
Yeah, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. We just joined the call. Well, good morning. Glad that you can join us this morning. Oh, good morning. Welcome to the Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. We just joined the call. Did you get your flu shot yet, Susie?
Huh? Did I get my what?
your flu shot.
I'm supposed to get it today.
Okay.
Kaiser's, okay. They're starting it today. So.
Okay.
Oh, definitely want to do that. I got my 2,000 steps in already.
You got your what?
I get 2,000 steps in before 6 o'clock every morning.
Good for you. I've
been doing that for about 4 years now.
Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to the Clear Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Who just joined the call? Good morning. Morning, welcome to the Clear Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Who just joined the call?
Happy Saturday. This is Diane.
I know that D1. Hey, good morning. How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. I forgot about you guys last night.
Girl, you and me both. When I finally realized it was 8:30, and I was like, wait a minute.
Girl, my time is off so bad because I'm 3 hours different.
Right, I know. And I was like, wait a minute, is today Friday? Yeah. Anyway, another whole conversation.
Miss Barbara just called me. Let me go mute.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Who just joined the call?
Good morning, Bubbly. It's Barbara.
Hey, good morning, Barb. Happy Saturday. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. Excuse me. I'll give it to, let me go on mute. And no, you can't go on mute, people. You have to talk. Oh, my goodness. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday.
Hi,
just joined us all. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Deidre. Good morning, everyone. Hi, Bubbly.
Good morning, Deidre. Hi.
Hey.
Good to hear yourself, sis.
Good to hear yours, too.
Thank you.
Yo, Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, good morning, my Smith family. Happy Saturday. Happy Sabbath to you both.
Happy Sabbath to you, Bubba. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Who is showing us all?
Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's Juliet.
Hey, Choo Choo. Good morning.
Good morning, it's Andrew.
Hey, good morning, PA. Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday, Vegas.
Ooh, yeah, that don't even sound right. What is that? It's true.
Happy Saturday, Sister Veronica.
Hey, good morning, Sister Veronica. Happy Saturday. Thanking God for another Saturday.
Yes, ma'am. The wake-up list.
The wake-up list. Amen. That's how I'm going to remember your sound. And yeah. That wake up list. Excuse me, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Clan Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else on the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Bubbly. This is James.
Hey, Brother James. Happy Saturday, brother. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else join the call?
Good morning, Bubbly. It's Julianne.
Hey, Juju.
Hey.
Good to hear your sound, girl.
Where's two? Good day. Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath. Happy Saturday. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else join the call? Good morning. Welcome to the Care of Victory. This is Bubbly. Happy Saturday. Did anybody else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Jamila.
Hey, good morning, Jamila. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, too.
All right. It is 6:05. Before I get started, did anybody else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, this is Pat.
Hey, good morning, Vet. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
All right. It is 6:05. I'm going to go ahead and get started. So good morning. Hello, my name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I'm your hostess this morning. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. This month, expect miracles. It's going to be a September to remember. Do you know who and whose you are in Christ? Are you struggling with figuring out your purpose and his promises concerning you and your future? Join us this month as the Lord begins to minister his plan through his people. Invite a friend so they can be blessed too. We have one announcement today. If you have been blessed by the call and you would like to partner with Declare Victory, you can give a love offering at declarevictory.org or visit our PayPal account at paypal.me/declarevictory. Your donation is fully tax deductible and will help us fill the storehouse to keep Declare Victory operating. We thank you very much and pray it be returned to you 100-fold. There weren't any prayer requests from the app this morning. The order of the call is as follows. The declaration will be by Pastor Lavelle Jones. Praying corporate praise will be done by Carol. Then we will go right into the closing comments hosted by the Declare. I will repeat that. The declaration will be by Pastor Lavelle Jones. Praying corporate praise will be done by Carol. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the Declare. At this time, we ask that you please, ma'am, please, sir, put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. I now pass the call to the Declare for the day. Blessings, everyone. Pastor Jones, are you there? Let me contact him, see if he switched up. Hold on. Give him a few moments. Hopefully he's not having technical difficulties and he's okay.
I'm here.
Oh, bless his name. I'll pass the call to you.
I apologize. I was trying to put the fish in touches. on this declaration, y'all. So please, please forgive me. Okay. I'm on the call. I'm on the call, y'all. Everybody texting. All right. Okay, let me get to it. All right. How's everyone doing this morning? Everybody's good? All right. Let me just put my thing together right quick. And I'm jumping in. All right. Here we go. I believe today we are still dealing with identity, and I completely forgot that I was on every Saturday this month, and Moni's a bully, and Moni texted me last night to remind me that I was on, and I had to put something together. All right, so Diddy, don't text me no more. All right. If you have the time, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 10. Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and there's some nuggets in there that I kind of just want to lift up this morning in identity. I did not get a chance to really finish it, but I'm going to do my best because I can work good with scripture. Is that all right, y'all? All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally. That's as far as I got, finally. The rest of the scripture says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So as far as I got between last night and this morning is finally. So I'm going to try and work with that. And so let me start off by saying there are too many times, I would say, in our Christian family, in our identity with Christ, or I should say the body of Christ, that even sometimes in our identity, that we get caught up in what I like to call our comfort zone. And we get caught up in the fact that because I've been baptized or I've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes I really believe we get beside ourselves and we brag about what we have and how strong that I really am sometimes. But when I looked at this last night and this morning, the Bible really gives us two sides in life, because he said to us in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And that's the good part. That's the good part. But John 16:33 says that these things I write unto you that you might have peace. You shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In essence, what I'm saying is that there's a side that says take it easy, but then there's another side that says keep your guards up. And us as believers in our identity, we must realize that we have three enemies. We have, watch this, we have the external enemy called the world. We have the internal enemy called the flesh, and we have the infernal enemy who is Satan himself. So watch it again. We have the external enemy called the world, the internal enemy called the flesh, and the infernal enemy who is Satan himself. And all three are trying to keep us down. We are sons of God. We are servants of God, but we are also soldiers of God. As a son, I can rejoice that I'm in the family. As a servant, I can rejoice because I'm working for him. But as a soldier, I have to prepare for the battlefield, because y'all hear me when I tell you, you're going to fight for your identity. And God has us in basic training to prepare us for the battle. So the Apostle Paul in this passage, he said finally. Now normally when you hear the word finally, it's a word that excites church folk, especially after you've been sitting in the pews for a long time and the preacher is coming to the conclusion of his sermon. Y'all usually wait for him to say or her to say finally. I mean, it looks like it's about over. And when you see this passage or this statement in Ephesians chapter 6, you'll think that it's exactly what Paul is saying, that it's just about over. But watch this. In the Greek text, when I looked this up this morning, it doesn't mean that it's the conclusion. It is really saying that I saved the best for last. That of all the things that I've already told you, don't overlook or underestimate what I'm getting ready to say. It was really, really difficult this morning, y'all, for me to digest this. Me being a student of the word, it was difficult for me to digest this because of when I looked at this passage this morning, of all the things that the Apostle Paul had already said in the book of Ephesians, because in chapter 1, he blew my mind, it baffled my mind when he talked about the election of the saints. And just the word election, scholars take as much as a year to digest this word election. And then he talks about predestination, and then he talks about adoption, identity, and then he deals with the seal of the Spirit. He covers all of those things in Ephesians chapter 1. And then he deals with this matter of grace and works in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, 4, and 5, he baffled my mind again dealing with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So he covered so many marvelous and wonderful things until it's difficult to believe that anything beyond this can supersede what he already said. And then the second thing you got to understand is the people in the Ephesian church, they were brilliant people. They were brilliant when it came to their knowledge of the word. They were head and shoulders above the rest because of the leadership in the church. And you see, the Ephesian church was founded by the Apostle Paul. He served there for 3 years, and later he brought his son Timothy, who became the pastor of the church. And then he had an evangelist named Peter and Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila. They came and did ministry in the church. And then on top of that, John, the beloved disciple, was a member of the Ephesian church. And not only was John there, but y'all remember when Jesus died, he willed his mother to John. And wherever John went, he would always carry Jesus' mother. And can you imagine a church with that much leadership? That Paul was the pastor, Timothy followed him, Apollos and Peter had preached in the church, John, the beloved disciple, was there, and Jesus' mother was there. I mean, it had to be an awesome church. And when you see a church like that, sometimes you get lifted up in pride. And have you ever seen a church and they brag because of where they are? I'm a member of such and such church. I go to such and such church, and you can hear the pride that stems from their voice. And they seem to say that if you ain't been a member of, if you ain't been to church, if it's not my church. And they kind of look at you with their nose down, and these are the kind of folks they say, this is the church. In other words, they call it the Holy Ghost headquarters. And I kind of get baffled when people say that my church is the Holy Ghost headquarters. And the reason I get baffled is because you have to understand that nobody, hear me when I say, nobody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. Wow. You see, the Apostle Paul detected a spiritual pride in the church to the extent he said, listen, I've detected some things in spite of the leadership that you have, in spite of the membership of the church. He said, I see some problems. And whenever I see these problems, you give way to the devil. And so if y'all got a moment, I just got to walk through it just for a moment. I want to show you several problems that existed with the Ephesians church. Chapter 4, if you look just for a moment, when you have a chance, he said, I see several things wrong with you in spite of your leadership. He said in verse 25, he said, wherefore put away lying. He said, you're doing too much lying in the church. And he said, if that's not enough, he said in verse 26, he says, you're angry. He said, be ye angry and sin not. He said, you get mad way too easy and you stay mad way too long. And then he said, when you do that in verse 27, he said, you give place to the devil. And the devil don't need to have a place in the church of the living God. And then he says in verse 28, when you get through doing that, I've discovered that you're doing some stealing in the church. And then he said in verse 29, after all of that other stuff, you let corrupt communication start coming out of your mouth. He said, instead of you singing the praises of God, you let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And then he said, because of all of that stuff that you're doing, he said in verse 30, he said, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And this word grieve, when I looked it up, it's a passionate word. It's a word that a man has with his wife when he catches his wife being unfaithful to him. It grieves him. And the text is saying that the Holy Spirit says, you grieve me when I see the other stuff that you're doing. He said, listen, in verse 31, he said, you keep being bitter. And so I just wanted to show y'all some stuff, some of the problems that the Ephesians church had despite their identity. And Paul says, finally, he says, listen, he said, you got some problems. He said, you have some knowledge you need. He said, you have some knowledge you need, but he said, you need more than knowledge. In other words, you need to do more than just quote scriptures. He said, you need to have some God down on the inside. Oh, my God. He said, finally. And then he says, my brother. The word in the Greek is artifacts. Artifacts in the Greek, where brethren in the Greek, artifacts, it means from the same womb. It's a word used all over the New Testament indicating we're from the same family. It is what you call an aggressive word. When Alexander the Great was living at the age of 18, he conquered the Eastern world. But by the time he was 33, he conquered the East and the Western hemisphere. And he was one of the greatest soldiers that ever fought on the battlefield. But one day he was so admired by so many until he decided to embrace other soldiers, that whenever a soldier was brave and had worked hard on the battlefield, he would set a platform up for other brave soldiers, and he would allow them to come up on the stage, and they would have somewhat of a ceremonial celebration for the brave soldiers. And every brave soldier, he would put his arm around them, take a picture with them, and congratulate them as being my brother. Now listen, whenever you're on the battlefield for the Lord, as quiet as it's kept, and you're born again, we're actually brothers, meaning male and female. And when we're brothers, we ought not fight against one another, but we ought to fight alongside one another. You see, the Christian family is the only family I know who wound people in the barracks. Matter of fact, we lose the war in the barracks. We use up all of our ammunition on each other. We don't have any bullets for the devil because we shoot each other. We shoot the wounded, already weak, weary, wounded, and without strength, and then we shoot while you're still down. So he says, finally, my brother. He said, I need you to know that you're my brother. You may not have what I have, but I don't have what you have. And when we know that, we help each other, we can help each other handle life better. One of the things that the devil tries to do is literally divide us. But you see, when you get divided, you lose strength. And that's what cancer really is. Cancer is when one cell pulls away from the other cell and tries to live. He lives by himself and he creates a tumor. Then surgery got to take place. And whenever you try to pull out from everybody else, you become a cancer. And not only are you a cancer and a cell by yourself, but you weaken the body. Where there's unity, there's strength. And it's a shame that anybody who cuts down somebody else, and you in the same family with your brother, your sister, and you have the audacity to talk down another child of God, you ought to really be ashamed of yourself. So he says, finally, my brethren, he says, be strong. In. Now watch this. He said, blew me away. That word in is exactly what it says. In, that means that he needs to use a container put the strength in. And it just so happened in your identity, you are the container. You may not know it, but you are the container that the Lord wants to use. Watch this, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, your container. And, you know, he tells you what to do with every member of your body. With your eyes, he tells you in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. With my ears, I take Matthew 11 and 15. He says, he that have an ear, let him hear. With my mind, I take Philippians 2:15, let this mind be in you. With my mouth and my heart, I take Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With my hand, I take Ecclesiastics 9 and 10. Whosoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, no wisdom, no knowledge in the grave where thou goest. With my knees, I take Philippians 2 and 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. With my feet, I take Hebrews 12 and 1. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us, and let us run. And with the rest of my body, I take Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your container. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that you're not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He need you to be a container. So we are an earthen vessel, and this word strong is in the plural form. And that means, watch this, not just Pastor Jones be strong, not just your deacons be strong or your mothers be strong, but you be strong. It's in the present tense, which means it's in progress. In Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, which means he keeps giving me new strength. So in other words, declared victory, he gives me strength today for today. I don't have to preserve nothing for tomorrow, because in the morning he's going to give me some strength for tomorrow. He does that with mercy. You know, he gives me new mercy every day. That means I ain't got to try and can today's mercy and hold it for tomorrow or next week, because when the morning comes, he's going to give me some new mercy in the morning. And that's what he does with my daily bread. Watch this. Give us this day our daily bread. And that means I ain't got to stock up and store. But when the morning comes, he's going to give me some new bread. So it's in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. He's not recommending that I be strong. He's not suggesting that I be strong. He's commanding me to be strong. I mean, it just looks better when you're strong. And y'all, as a man, as a real man, and I'm not talking about nobody else, I'm just talking about Lavelle Jones, as a real man, ain't nothing that disturbs me more than to see a weak man or a weak woman in the Lord. How many of you on the line know when you're playing football, they try and find the weakest player that they can target? A boxer, when he's boxing, he keeps punching until he can find a weak spot. And when doctors examine your body, they keep pushing to see if they can touch something, and then you flinch. And they say that's the problem right there. I mean, you don't want to be weak. You want to be strong. So it's in the imperative mood. But it's also, watch this, in what they call the passive voice. Now, the passive voice means he's telling me to do something that I can't do. Now, isn't that something? God telling me to do something he knows I can't do? That means when it's in the passive voice, it means that the subject is being acted upon. And I should say to you that whatever God wants us to do, he furnishes everything. In Romans 8 and 26, there's a word there, likewise, we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth. It means, in the Greek, it means partnership and over against, which means he grabs the load that you're carrying and help you bear the load. And so it gives the indication that he just takes over. And you're looking around and you think that you're carrying it by yourself, but the truth of the matter is the Lord is really carrying it. So he furnishes everything. And he said, now you're saved by grace. So he furnishes the grace. He said, you're saved by faith. So he furnishes the faith. He said, you're cleansed by the blood. So he furnishes his son's blood. He says, you can't hear without a preacher. So he furnishes the preacher. And the preacher can't preach unless he's been sent. So he sends the preacher. And how can he preach if he don't have the word? So he sends his word. My God literally furnishes everything. He just tells you to believe what he has already furnished on your behalf. And I have the audacity despite my identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have the audacity to walk around with my chest stuck out like I'm something and I ain't furnished nothing. And matter of fact, the only thing that I bring to the table is my sins. And the Bible says he forgives me of those. Wow. Wow. He says he literally forgives me of those sins. Isn't that the kind of God that we serve? Wow. He furnishes everything. Everything. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Now, he said, listen. He said, for this to happen, it must be in what is called in locative tense. In essence, the only way I can be strong in the Lord, you see, when I try to operate by myself, I'm weak. But when I operate in the Lord, I'm strong. That means when the devil comes to the door, I don't even have to answer the door. I just send Jesus and say, Lord, you handle it for me. I ain't got to try and do it by myself because my God can handle any situation. And I don't care how great or how small the situation is, God can handle it. If any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. That means everything I need is in him. And if it's not in him, and if I'm in him, and that means I got everything that I need. My problem is I try and segregate myself from him and try and use my own little mind, try to use my own ideas, my own thoughts, but it's got to be in him. Let me finish this. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power. And the Greek word for power is kratos. Now, there's a different Greek word for the other powers, because in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake and said, all power, the Greek word is ekousia. That's the word for authority. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. The Greek word is dunamis, where you get the word dynamic and dynamite. But the word power here is the word kratos. Now, this is what you call demonstrative power. And the other powers, you can't see. You know authority is there, but you can't see it. You know dunamis works on the inside, but you can't see it. But this kratos power is on display. Let me explain it this way. This is the power that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, I'm going to put in you the same power that my Father used to raise me from the dead. Now, can I tell you that? I don't care what you're dealing with in this life right now. It won't take that much power. Because if you had been in the grave that morning when God decided to raise Jesus from the dead, that power was so super dynamic, it got him up without even interfering with the napkin. Because the napkin was just like it was when it was wrapped around Jesus. How many of y'all know that's power? That's enough power to get you up out of your sick bed. That's enough power to make the devil leave you alone. I guess that's why Peter said that you really don't know who you are. You're a royal priesthood. So this greatest power is demonstrative power. It's so powerful until you can say to Satan, get behind me. Thank God for his power. Now there's one more little word here, and I'm going to leave you alone. It looks like he's just doing too much in this text because, number one, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power. But now he says, might, which means when you say it's too much for me, but what Paul is saying, he's not describing his power, but he's describing the muscular power of God himself. And how many of you on Declare Victory know that my God is the God of power? You remember back at the Red Sea that God took one hand and held it back until Israel walked over on dry land. He dropped his hand and the water came back and Pharaoh's army got drowned in the sea. My God is a God of power. He's got so much power until he can send a hurricane to Sacramento and it just jump right over your house and take the one next to it. God is a God of power. And can I tell you what he does with the power? He places it in the church to do just what we need to do. I'm through with y'all. Because of my identity in Jesus Christ, I understand that God is a God of power. And I have to understand that because I am who I am in Jesus Christ, that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So just remember, it ain't over yet. Whatever you're going through, it ain't over yet. Just know that God is still working on your behalf. Just remember your identity. Remember who you are in Jesus, because you're going to always remember what Jesus is and who Jesus is in you. May God bless you. May God keep you as I pass the call.
Sister
Hello?
Carol, Sister Carol, if you're praying, we can't hear you. And if she's unavailable, can another ambassador jump in and pray? Thank you.
I got it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as humble as we know how, thanking and praising you because you are God, and beside thee there is no other. We dare not forget the blood of Calvary, that while we were yet in sin, you committed your love toward us and died on the cross. Not only did you hang, bleed, and die, but the Bible says you were buried. And bright early Sunday morning, you rose with all power. And for that, Master, we say thank you. We come now, God, confessing and acknowledging every sin and transgression that is ever before us. God, purge us in the words of David, like hyssop. Wash us that we might be clean. Wash us that we might be whiter than snow, God. God, we thank you for sparing our lives, allowing us to see another day, God. A day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again, God. While death was going on all around us last night, God, somehow or another, you sprinkled the blood over our doorposts. And when the death angel saw the blood, he said, sacrifice has already been made there, God. And we say thank you this morning, God. God, we come praying for those who are standing in the need of prayer, God. God, somebody needs you, and somebody can't make it without you, God. This morning, we're praying for fathers, sons, and mothers, daughters this morning, God. God, somebody's child is walking the street contrary with no God on their side. God, turn them around before it's everlasting too late, God. God, we pray for those who want declared victory, who stand in the need of prayer, God. God, somebody's head is lifted, but their heart is shown up heavy. They've got a smile on their face, God, but there's a tear in their eye. God, we know you rule and super rule, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just reach a mighty hand, look and have mercy right now. And God, we pray for mercy this morning while mercy can be found, because we know soon after a while, God, mercy days will be over, God. And we ask right now for a double portion of your mercy. We pray now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would touch, God, just everywhere your people are hurting, God. We pray now, God, that you would touch somebody's family right now, God. God, somebody standing in the need of prayer. Somebody saying that it's not my mother, it's not my father, it's not my sister nor my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, and standing in the need of prayer, God. And we ask right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would look in every home, God. God, that somebody's husband is laying asleep right now, God. I pray that you would touch right now. Somebody's wife is laying asleep right now. Somebody's child is laying asleep right now, God. I pray, God, that you would just give them a double portion of your anointing this morning, God. God, all of those that are declared victory right now, God. God, I pray, God, that you would meet every need, God. God, somebody's calling on your name right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, you said you was going to give your son a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. We know that cancer is nothing more than a name. We know that high blood pressure and diabetes is nothing more than a name, and it's got to lay down at the name of Jesus. God, touch now in the name of Jesus. We need you. We can't make it without you, God. And God, as we take our phones off mute right now, God, God, as we begin to give you corporate praise, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we need you right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
I stole you, Father.
Thank you for
being our God. Thank you for marching orders.
morning, God. For you are faithful and you are worthy. You don't forget about us, God.
All right. 80 degrees this morning, so it's all right.
All right. Oh, 80 degrees this morning.
This morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Already.
It's cool, but it's cooling off. All right. Okay.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right. Anyone else? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Deliver Demetra.
Hey, Deliver Demetra. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. Anyone else?
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. I love y'all. Happy Saturday.
Hey. Amen. I heard my prayer warrior sister Nala on the phone. Good morning, Nala. Love you. Oh, she put me on mute. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Come on. Good morning.
Good morning, it's Didi.
Hey.
Good morning, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. Barbara, you sent me an email. I got to get that for you. I got to put it together and get it for you. So I did get your email. It came in spam. I checked my spam, but I did get it.
Oh, I'm glad you checked your spam. Okay.
All right, anyone else?
I want to say I enjoy your message, but I can't say that because I had to say ouch a couple of times.
Did you?
You know, it's funny how you can read a scripture, I don't know how many times, but something else always comes out of it different. Just thank you. Thank you for your share. I've got to get off the phone. That's why I wanted to say what I had to say now.
Okay.
God bless you. I love
right.
everyone. Have a wonderful day.
And Barbara, I struggled with it because I was laying down. I went to one of my members' football games on yesterday, and they scored 3 touchdowns. Praise God! Well, one was called back, and I was at the football game with some of my members and stuff. And then I came home, and I was doing some other things. I was starting on my sermon for Sunday and all of that. And then I get an inbox from Moni that reminded me that I had to do the declaration in the morning. And I started to cop out on it. I said, I just can't do it. And I said, no, I'm going to fulfill my obligation. And I struggled with this all night and early this morning. So that's why I was late on the phone, because I know scripture. So I know how to put scripture together. So,
well, God let you put it together. He put it together. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Anyone, any aha moments in the scripture like Barbara had? Any comments, any questions? Nobody? Wow.
Well, this is Jason, and as always, it's awesome. I mean, you touch my soul. You had me in here jumping around and crying. You know how to put scripture together. You do. And I thank you so much. And I posted on Facebook and said, if I was in California, I'd definitely be a member of your church. So thank you.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah. And enjoy your day, okay?
Thank you. Now, see, I appreciate stuff like that, JC. And then Susie, Susie is my heart. Susie just inboxed me and said, Pastor LaBelle, you are the best pastor I have ever known. I can't wait for Rick to hear the playback from this morning. We will be able to come to church. So thank you, Susie.
You are so welcome. You are the best pastor ever. And I wrote down all the scriptures from this morning.
Oh, praise God.
Yes.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Now,
good morning.
Wait, hold on. Hold on just a second. See, I get messages like that from people like Susie, and then I get messages from people like Dee Dee. I ain't going to read what she said anyway. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Brother, I was getting ready to just bless your day because you blessed me as well. I'm not going to put all that on it. Like, you must have paid Susie a whole bunch of money to do all that. All that ever. Oh, Lord Jesus. But, no, I do appreciate how you break down scripture and you make me think bigger, you know what I mean? And really, but you were funny when you talked about people that say, oh, I go to such and such church, because I hear it all the time. It's like, so if you don't belong to that certain church, you ain't saved, then what
right.
does that mean? So thank you for that, but you always, again, you make me just think on things that I, and look at scriptures different. I don't really like you, though. I'm going to be, you know, everybody
knows. I know that. I love you, but I don't like you.
But I want you to still slow down. I'm going to get on you as your big sister. Pump your brakes, okay? Because I'm not coming back to see you with the Wakanda patch. I'm not going to do it. So I love you, and I'm getting ready to go to my dance class because, you know, I'm trying to get fit so I can be as slim as you. Well, I'm mute, buddy.
Right. I love you too. I love Didi. All right, praise God. All right, anyone else? Come on. No, any aha moments in that scripture? I know I ran through it pretty fast, but was there anything that caught your attention in that? And just finally, I mean, I really couldn't get past finally. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Anyone? No, nobody had a question, a comment, nothing, huh? Somebody trying to get off mute?
Hey, Dad.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Brother Eric.
Brother E.
Listen, man, great decoration. Yeah. Right, not getting past that. Finally, my brother, be strong. And like I like how you broke down the different words of strength and power, the Greek. I think that really speaks towards our church right now. You know, especially when we're dealing with the issues now today, and it seems to be a multitude of issues. You know, in this country, man, we're dealing with, you know, injustice against, you know, black men in which you can't even be safe in your own apartment. You know, we're dealing here in California with, you know, in Oakland and probably in the surrounding school districts, you know, really a dearth in funding. Our free elementary, our free school system is broken. You know, we're dealing with rising housing costs. We're dealing with so many things, you know what I'm saying, just in this state alone. Environmentally, worldwide, we're dealing with a lot of things. Trade-wise, we're dealing with tariffs and how they're probably going to boomerang. We're dealing with a lack of federally leadership, even with men who are nominated to the highest court in the land, an honorable position, are now even being accused of being sexual predators. There's a lot that we're dealing with here in this world. And one of the great questions is, where is the church? And where is this Kratos and that we're talking about, the power? And I forgot the other Greek word, but the one dealing with authority, Jesus.
Here. Ecclesia.
Abusia, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. It seems like as it seems like the church is not unlike the church in Ephesians, in which Paul is saying, listen, it's not about who you're from, you know, whose past you are, what denomination you are, because it's one church, it's one faith, it's one baptism, it's one bride, it's one institution that Christ is.
Wait, Eric. So you mean to tell me he ain't coming back for the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Church of God in Christ, the Luke? You mean to tell me he just come back for the church, just one church? You mean to tell me that?
That's what I read. I don't know what you read, but that's what I read. You know what I'm saying? The denomination name. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to get away from that and understand that, you know what I'm saying? I might be in the Air Force, and you might be in the Army, and Didi might be a Marine, but we face a common enemy, and we're not called by that. Even though we may have different, we might have a different mission, but we're called the United Services of the United States. And so we all fight together towards the enemy. And so we're called to fight for those who cannot fight. We're called to take back land that the enemy has taken. We're called to establish not only bunkheads, but whole places, and to put it underneath our authority for our commander-in-chief, which is Jesus Christ. And so in order to accomplish the mission, we've got to be unified. And we've got to understand, like I understood when I was in the service, that I knew instinctively, I knew intuitively that I was on the best fighting force. because of our record. I knew because of what we could do, what I've seen we could do, because the resources that we had and the weapons that we had. Well, hello, I'm as a soldier of Christ, I am part of the greatest in the history of the world, of the universe, or whatever. Why do I know this? I know this because His Word says it, and I believe it intuitively, instinctively. I know the resources that can be brought to bear, what you talked about. You know, I know the weapons, because our weapons are not worldly.
Well,
but
they're pulling down
strongholds, of footholds, of toeholds, of the imagination, even the mindset. We have weapons that are able to do with that. And so, you know what I'm saying? So all we have to do is really be united, but understand that we do have the power and we do have the authority. And I think once the church as a whole comes to that knowledge, man.
Well, you're all in my sermon for tomorrow.
That's the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to talk about tomorrow. Stop crying and do something about it.
All right. Mm. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm talking about the church. Stop crying and do something about it. Or my subtopic is how to repossess. How to take back, how to go get it. Go get it.
Exactly.
David inquired of Abiathar, the high priest, inquired of the Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? Shall I go after it? And the truth of the matter is the devil has been taking from the children of God so long, and we just sit back and let it happen. You know, in my community, where my church is, and I'm not bragging when I say this, but it makes me feel good that when the sheriff wants to do something, he calls me. When something goes on in my community, they call me. And it makes me feel good. Now, I'm not talking about no other pastor or anything, because you do whatever is in your community or whatever, however you do that. But the church has got to be the faith of the community. I haven't had the chance to do it for the last couple of years, especially this year because I was sick. But every year in the month of July, all 4 or 5 Sundays, I have worship in the park. I take my Sunday morning to the park, to the community. You know, and I think that's very, very important. And if the church is not visual in the community, like Brother Eric said, y'all, what are we doing? What are we here for? What are we doing? Finally, my brethren, be strong. And I'm so sick of weak Christians. Let me tell you this is just me, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want to offend nobody when I say this. But it just irks my nerve when everybody is always talking about pray for me. No, you need to get strong enough in the Lord where you need to pray for somebody else and you need to pray for yourself, because can't nobody reach heaven like I can reach heaven. Now, I appreciated y'all was praying for me, but guess what? I was praying for myself right along. And while y'all was praying for me, I was busy praying for y'all too in a hospital bed. I wish I had me a witness here. Yeah. All right, very good, Brother Eric. Anyone else?
Pastor Lavelle, how are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. How are
awesome.
You? Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Great message. This is kind of like preemptiveness. This is kind of like when the choir marches in at the back of the church. You know, everybody getting in line, and, you know, we trying to tell each other, you know, you're supposed to be before me, I'm supposed to be after them, and you up in the front, and... You know, what basically as, you know, the brother, he said, can we just all get along? And Paul came to the church of Ephesus to set some guidelines, to set some things in order so that way we won't be working as they say, we're rolling around like one eyeball. Everybody got to be the eyeball. But he did set some you know, some boundaries for the church, but also he also told us what we need to do as an individual of the church. And so I know you use the word that, you know, we can, you know, quote scriptures and, you know, tote our Bibles and carry this cross, you know, around our neck. But we're not, you know, really some of us, our mouths needs to be put in check. These tongues need to really be put down, nailed down tell them to just until you can get it right. And because each time, you know, we may be that light that that one person sees. And we, you know, we are brothers and sisters. And many of us, like you said, we're just, he said brothers. So I just thank God for each and every one of you this morning. And let's just go and do the work that he sent us to do. Let's go into the highways and the byways and compel men to come. People don't even want to go to church no more. They'd rather be at home looking at the TV because that's their church. They don't have no, there's no rules. Everybody is sitting in the same seat or in the same place. And the pastor standing in the pulpit. The choir is already in their position. So I just really think that, you know, this is just for us to brush off. It's not to knock any of us off of the places where God has us, but just to put us back on the potter's wheel if you fell off on Friday night. Because some of us, you know, we still are and still need some fine tuning. Thank you for reminding myself this morning who I am in Christ Jesus. And I got to let the light shine that men might see my good works and glorify the Father. God bless you all and have a beautiful day, each and every one of you. Thank you, Pastor Lavelle. Always so, so profound. Thank you. The word.
All right. Thank you. Wow. Remember, if you remember who you are in Jesus, you're going to always remember who Jesus is in you. That was very good. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Where are you starting in your Christian walk and how you're building? What my question? Are you an asset to your church or are you a liability to your church? I wish you had me a witness. Yeah, I mean, do you just go to church? Or do you go to participate? Because you know a lot of people criticize the preacher, the pastor, and stuff. But you know he really can't do it on his own. He really needs you to help out. Y'all wish I got lost on the way to the call this morning, huh? Anybody else? Anybody else?
That's another sermon declaration right there. That word right there, Pastor. Are you a liability or are you an asset? Because last time I remember, you know, the general gave the orders, but he wasn't the only one on the battlefield. Most of the time, the general was the last one to lead in the battlefield because he had came to such a position. But when he, you know, everybody's called to fight. You know, that's one thing about the military. I mean, you could be a doctor, you could be a dentist, you could be a secretary, you know, you could be the garbage man. You know what I'm saying? You could be the supply
clerk.
You could be the cook.
Hey,
but when the war comes, you know, if the war comes to your party, then you are required to pick up a weapon and fight, regardless of your position, regardless of your rank. You already know what our duty is to fight the enemy and to declare the victory.
Hey, quit talking about garbage men, okay? hey. They pay me very well.
I love being a garbage man. That's all I ever wanted to do when I was a boy. And I can't wait to get back to work. All right. Very good, Eric. I'm joking. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Pastor Lavelle, this is Diane.
Hey, lady. Diane.
How are you? I enjoyed your message this morning because the message went out to all of us because sometimes our mouth can be bad. Our mouth needs washing out and our behavior. And you're right, the pastor can't do it by himself. Where the Bible talks about in Ephesians and Philippians.
This
you
is
know,
ADT Security Services calling to let you know we have received an alarm signal from your location. Someone at your location has stopped the alarm response by entering the correct code into the system. This is why you did not receive a live call from an ADT professional. The police department will not be notified. No further action is required on your part. Additional alarm history information can be found on myadt.com. Thank you for choosing ADT Security Services.
That must be my home, but I can't do nothing about it. I'm way away.
I'm calling the police.
My husband should be there, so I don't know. Well, anyway, the pastor can't do it by himself. We're supposed to be on one accord. So instead of talking about pastors, and because people do it all the time in the church, everybody wants to be a pastor. Everybody wants to be in charge. And everybody just want to do everything. But I appreciate your message this morning. And I just pray for each and every one on this call to stand behind your pastor, because we're all in this together. And TV church, nah, it's best to be in the presence with everyone else, because that's what God called us to do, to be a community. A community involved everybody. And I just appreciate this message and how you broke it down and how you talked about the different things in Ephesians that the people in the church are doing, and talking about the churches that have their nose up in the air. So I just appreciate you, and I appreciate your teaching. You are a great teacher, and I enjoy it. God bless you.
To God be the glory. Thank you, Lady Di. All right, anyone else?
What time was that? Was that just 7 o'clock one?
No, that was my 7 o'clock one. Who said that? Anyone else? Y'all are so quiet. Y'all talk on everybody else's call all during the week, but y'all get quiet on mine. Y'all still asleep? Wake up. All right, y'all, I'm not going to press it if there's not another. I thank y'all this morning for listening intently. I want to encourage you to join TNT Bible Study Tuesday night from 7 to 8. I love every last one of you. Tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow is worship. Tomorrow, go to church, go to worship, and make sure you see Jesus in the worship. Because if you go to worship and you don't see Jesus in the worship, you have not worshiped. You have not worshiped, all right? So I love every last one of you. You all have a great day in the Lord today and a great weekend. And take it easy. Just relax this weekend, all right? All right, love y'all. Have a great day.
Love you back. Have a great day.
Be blessed, everybody.
Mm-hmm.